on page 193, chapter 14. The respected supreme divinity said, "Again, I shall explain the supreme wisdom excellent among all knowledge, knowing which all men of wisdom have attained to supreme perfection. By taking refuge in this wisdom, one attains unity with me. Neither are they born in creation, nor disturbed in dissolution. My womb is the vast divinity of all matter, in which I establish the embryo of the birth of all beings, and hence comes birth, O descendant of the light of wisdom, Arjuna. O son of who takes away the deficiency of others, Arjuna, for all forms which take birth in all wombs, the vast divinity of all matter is the womb, and I am the father who establishes the seed." That is, all that takes birth in God. And I am that divinity which engenders the seed. Attentiveness, desire for activity, and inattentiveness are the qualities born of nature. And as many as there are interpreters, so many are the ways of describing the three qualities or gunas of nature, sattva, rajas, and tamas. So attentiveness, desire for activity, and inattentiveness are the three qualities born of nature. O one of mighty arms, Arjuna, they bind the indestructible wearer of the body in all bodies. That is, the wearer of the body is eternal and indestructible. And in every body that the wearer wears, these three, sattva, raja, and tama, create the relationship between the wearer of the body and the body that she wears. Of these, attentiveness is pure illumination. O one without sin, it binds in attachment to health, pleasure, and wisdom. No desire for activity to be of the nature of passion, which gives birth to desire and attachment. O son of who takes away the deficiency of others, Arjuna, it binds the wearer of the body by attachment to actions. So the pleasure that they're talking about in verse 6 is different from the desire and attachment that they're talking about in verse 7. The pleasure in verse 6 is the delight of pure wisdom, the delight of illumination. And the desire and attachment is born of Rajaguna, that binds the wearer of the body by attachment to actions. No, inattentiveness is born from lack of wisdom, which deludes all embodied beings by binding them with excessive sleep, lack of awareness, and lack of activity, O descendant of the light of wisdom, Arjuna. That is, they can't focus on any one direction. They're inattentive. And hence, their sankalpas do not bear fruit. They cannot finish their sankalpa because they have such a multitude of wandering to and fro. Want of resolution, devoid of clear understanding, the asuras that attack us in the chandi. Attentiveness causes attachment to pleasure, desire for activity to action. O descendant of the light of wisdom, Arjuna, inattentiveness causes attachment to lack of awareness by hiding wisdom. When we're not attentive, our wisdom is hidden. And so we're not efficient or effective in any sankalpa that we undertake. Attentiveness is predominant when it overcomes desire for activity and inattentiveness. That is, one is predominates the other two. Desire for activity, over-attentiveness and inattentiveness, inattentiveness over attentiveness and desire for activity. So we have the three gunas, and at any one time, according to our perception, one predominates over the other two. When the three are in perfect balance and perfect equilibrium, it is called nirguna, without any predominant quality. Or also nir means water. Now, if you look at the quality of water, it's always in balance, in equilibrium. If you fill a container full of water, no matter what direction you turn the container, the water will always be level. So of the quality of equilibrium, or the quality of balance, is nirguna, when no quality is predominant over the other two. When the light of wisdom shines through every door in this body, it is known that attentiveness is the predominant quality. Remember, we live in the city of nine gates, 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9. And when every door of the body shines with the light of wisdom, then know that attentiveness is the predominant quality. Desire, commencement of evolutionary activities, restlessness, and longing arise when desire for activity is the predominant of quality, O best of the descendants of the light of wisdom, Arjuna. Lack of illumination, lack of evolutionary activities, lack of awareness, and even ignorance arise when inattentiveness becomes predominant, O delight of the family of those who act, Arjuna. When the wearer of the body leaves the body while attentiveness is predominant, then he attains to the pure worlds of those who know the highest. Leaving the body while the quality of desire for activity is predominant, he is born again among those attached to action. And leaving the body during inattentiveness, he is born in a womb of the foolish. They say that the fruits of the actions of attentiveness are pure and good, but the fruits of the actions of desire for activity are pain. Ignorance is the fruit of the actions of inattentiveness. From attentiveness arises wisdom. From desire for activity arises desire. And from inattentiveness arises lack of awareness and even ignorance. Those established in attentiveness go upwards. Those established in desire for activity remain in the middle. And those who remain in the lowest quality, inattentiveness, go downwards. When the one who sees perceives no other than the qualities of nature and knows the Supreme beyond the qualities of nature, then he attains to my attitude. The wearer of the body who moves beyond these three qualities of nature from which the body has evolved is liberated in birth, death, old age, pain, and attains to the nectar of immortality. Please note that the text clearly says he's liberated in. He's not liberated from. He's liberated in. Birth and death, old age, pain, and attains to the nectar of immortality. That individual is liberated in whatever position or whatever circumstance life presents to them. Clarity of Pure Devotion said, what are the signs of distinction of an individual who has gone beyond the three qualities? O Lord, what is his conduct? How does he go beyond? The respected Supreme Divinity said, O son of he who is without prejudice, he has no enmity with illumination, activity, or ignorance when they are predominant, nor any desire for them when they are absent. He doesn't dismiss the three gunas, nor does he invite the three gunas. He doesn't hanker for them or long for them to come, nor does he long to dismiss them. He sits like a servant of circumstances, unmoved by the qualities. Even as he sees the qualities operate, yet he does not move from his established place. He sees all life around is affected by the three qualities. Aing, rim, klim, chamundai, biche. They are constantly in transformation according to their nature because that's their nature. He witnesses the transformation of nature without attachment. He doesn't say, don't change. Change it will and change it must because that's its nature. He doesn't say, don't change. I like things the way they are. Please be beneficial for me. He says, I see the changes of nature. It doesn't change me. My true self is the witness of the nature. I am watching the changes. He does not move from his established place. He is established in his own self, equal in pain and pleasure, regarding dirt, stones, and gold equally, equal behavior to beloved people and non-beloved people, consistent, equal in blame or praise. He is the same whether honored or dishonored, the same to friends or enemies. Having renounced all activities, he is said to have moved beyond the qualities of nature. He serves me continually, united in devotion, moves beyond these qualities of nature and becomes qualified to unite with the Supreme Divinity. Indeed, I am the Supreme Divinity, wherein is established the nectar of immortality, the unchanging, everlasting, absolute pleasure of the ideal of perfection, Om. Do you have any questions in chapter 14? Yes, I can try. The servant of circumstance, what does a servant do? A servant stands and witnesses and constantly maintains a position of readiness to add value to the circumstance and to bring a greater harmony and a greater joy and a greater ease for everyone that they're serving. That's what a servant does. A servant looks at what's going on in the life of the people that she tries to serve, and she looks, how can I make it easier for them to accomplish their goal? That's the joy of being a servant. Always plotting the advantage of the people that we serve. So now, here we are as a servant of circumstances. We witness the circumstances without attachment. Change they will and change they must. But also we look for ways in which we can add value to the lives of the people we try to serve. Whether it be by making some sweet or making the dinner, teaching your class, teaching your students, or giving them music, or in any way we can add value. We look for ways to add value, even though we have no bondage of attachment. It's not a responsibility that I'm obligated to do. It's a privilege to demonstrate my love by seeing ways that I could make your life easier. Isn't that what a servant does? And it's, you offer and you try. And if the person isn't open to that, then they don't need your service. Namaste. You have no attachment. You're the witness. You're the witness. But it doesn't have to, you're not attached, so it doesn't have a negative impact on you. It does affect the whole environment, but what can you do? You're the servant, you merely offer your service. You can't demand compliance. That's your master will, you demand of your master that they receive and accept and appreciate and acknowledge your service. That's not a servant. A servant merely offers.
So it's like when Ma offers to do it a particular way and someone says, no, I think we should do it this way, Ma. And she says, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just like that. She probably knows it's not the best way. And she allows everyone to evolve at their own speed in the direction that their sanskaras will take them, even if they learn the right way by doing it wrong. And that's something we do with our children. Always. We allow them to find their own way. Even while we give good guidance and good counsel, we give them the freedom and the privilege to make their own lives. My family expected me to be a successful businessman in a wealthy environment. They didn't think I'd be living in a sleeping bag. And and even to this day, they would be thrilled if I would if I would change my lifestyle. And my beard is pretty gray. Because parents have their vested interest and they have their understanding. And I'm sure you're going through the same thing with all of your parents too. They would much prefer that you had a nice house and a nice job and a nice mortgage and be a nice person, a solid citizen, with all the accoutrements of successful life. They have no idea how happy you could possibly be, or how you could possibly be happy living on a mountaintop with some freaky hippies who dropped out in the 60s and haven't come back yet. I remember having the discussion with your parents. They would rather have her anywhere but in the clutches of that of that cult leader.
I'm going to take so much juice together.
So it's true. But you see, as a servant of circumstances, we look at the circumstances, we see, what could I possibly bring to the people I wish to serve that would enhance them in some way? I want to add value to their lives. What could I give them? Now, if they choose not to take it, namaste. You'll find your own way. You'll fulfill your own karma. You have your own definition of dharma. And believe me, my definition of dharma was different 30 years ago. My understanding of the laws of karma was different 30 or 40 years ago. It's evolved over time, as it will for all of us. But I believe that we're all in a very pure place, with pure company, with good association, thinking good thoughts. And I really, as a servant of circumstances, am very pleased that you chose to put yourselves in this circumstance. And it's a choice that you make every day. Because at any time, you could just choose to pick up and go to another environment and enjoy the karma of that environment. should you so choose. The fact that you don't choose means that there must be some nourishment that you're receiving. And that's always a delight when the servant sees that people are enjoying the service. It's a delight and an inspiration to serve more. That's how it works to be a servant of circumstances and to do karma in the world. I think. Are there any other questions in chapter 14? I told you this would be a very short and painless class.
Just a painless.
Oh. All right, well, Om Sam Sarasvati Namaha.
Thank you, everyone.